Amen. Hallelujah. Give thanks. An attitude of gratitude. I learned that saying today, or just in a few days ago. Yeah, just leave that on. Thank you. Yeah, I'll talk more about that in a minute. There was a DVD I watched that had the saying in it, to have an attitude of gratitude. When the things around us seem sometimes hopeless, sometimes distracting. As we talked about last week, I'm going to kind of do a recap of last week because a lot of people weren't here last week when I talked. The message was called, It Just Is. And I'll explain that. But we get distractions throughout our life, everyday basis. And those distractions come in all different forms. I referred to it last week as barking dogs. I've been watching a lot of The Dog Whisperer, and if anybody's ever watched that show, Karen, Steve, you guys ever seen that? The Dog Whisperer? But this guy is amazing. He rehabilitates the dogs, but trains the people. Because it's the people that are putting out the wrong message, the wrong energies. They're not consistent with what needs to be done. And so that's why the dogs are misbehaving. It's the owners. It's the people. And his messages carry right into our everyday life as to how we need to act and react to situations. For instance, there was a dog that they were walking. And this particular dog was scared of skateboards, bicycles, anything that came by. He's had other dogs that were scared of toasters, telephones ringing. And they would attack anybody that answered the telephone. If the telephone rang and you answered it, you were getting bit. If you didn't answer it, it was okay. But, you know, all these dogs had different strange behaviors. They would walk along and find a barking dog behind a fence, and as they would walk along the fence, that dog would bark, and this dog would go crazy. And then the owner is trying to go crazy to get the other dog to shut up. Pretty soon you have all this high energy, unbalanced energy, as he would call it, that is creating more of a fearful and angry energy instead of just calm energy as it should be, a balanced energy. He calls it calm submissive, or calm assertive, excuse me. Calm assertive. So you have a perfect balance of assertiveness and calmness in the situation. Then you're able to deal with things. So if the dog was out of control of it, we realize that there is this distraction. You've got your dog, you're taking him out for a walk, and there is a distraction. We can't ignore the fact that that distraction's there. There is a kid on a skateboard zipping by you, or there is a dog behind that fence that's yapping at you, trying to get your attention. We don't ignore it and say it's not there because, well, I mean, obviously it is there. But we don't get sucked into it. We don't get sucked into that barking dog. We stay on our walk, fixed and focused on where we're going. And we don't let that dog pull us off that course. We don't let that distraction pull us off our course and our mission in life. And I'd say one of our most important missions in life is staying focused on who we are. That's our important mission. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul had it down with there's an inner man, an outer man. We're the inner man. We're the spirit being. We are one with Christ. And when we stay focused on that source, things happen in that realm, in the higher realm, in the realm of God, in the realm of spirit. We stay focused on that. But anytime a distraction comes along, it tries to pull us away from our mission, from our course, from who we really are, and from knowing and seeing and believing who we really are. And then we start acting right along with the situation. And we have situations all the time. It could be financial problems and worries that get us unfocused, bill collectors, whatnot. We could have relationship problems with spouses, in-laws, exes, steps. We can have problems with people within the church, our own brothers and sisters there. We can have problems anywhere and everywhere we go. Health problems. You know, I've spoke firsthand on what's been going on with my health problems that I have to deal with all the time. And they're distractions. They're all barking dogs. All these distractions are barking dogs, taking us away from knowing, realizing, believing, confessing who we are in Christ Jesus and staying focused on that. And that's what last week's message that I touched on was about the barking dogs and not letting those barking dogs detour us from our mission. Another thing that we talked about, to recap it, was good and evil. We talked about the good and bad. I had, in a previous sermon, talked about and showed you a battery set up over here where we lit a light with the battery. And we have a positive and a negative contact to light the light bulb. And we can't say, well, I just want to hook to the positive. Don't give me any of that negative stuff. I just want the positive. Well, the light doesn't light without the positive and the negative. God uses things to work together to good in Him. He uses both good and evil. He uses the positive and the negative. And if we're constantly trying to fight the negative, then we're putting all of our attention on that instead of our attention where it's supposed to be, which is just solely on God, solely on the Christ within you, solely on who you are. That's where our attention needs to always be. Otherwise, we're getting back into that distraction again. So we don't sit and try to fight the negative. We don't try to fight the barking dogs. We don't try to fight the situation. That's putting energy where it doesn't need to be. And that puts our focus somewhere other than the Christ in us, other than God. But when we start seeing that everything works together in God, because He's both good and has created evil. He says that in Isaiah. He said, I created the good and I create the evil. And they work together. We don't have to keep seeing it as, oh, that's good or that's evil. We're always judging. Is this a good situation or is this a bad situation? And I told the story about the farmer again that's come up, where the farmer had a son, and all he has is one workhorse. That's his only source of income, is the one workhorse. That's everything to him. And one day his horse ran off. And all the townspeople came, and, oh, you poor man, you've lost your horse. What are you going to do now? You don't have your income. And he says, what? They said, oh, what bad luck. And he says, how do you know it's bad luck? And sure enough, a week later, this horse comes back, followed by 5 wild horses with it. So what was originally thought to be bad luck turned out to be good luck. So as the neighbors said, the neighbors came back and said, oh, well, good luck. You got 5 more horses now. But then the farmer once again said, how do you know it's good luck? And sure enough, as his son was taming the horses and riding them, he got bucked off and broke a leg. And they're, oh, what bad luck. The boy's broke his leg. He's no good to you. He's not, you know, it's, and now what are you going to do? Oh, what bad luck. And he's, good luck, bad luck. How do you know? And then the draft came. All the young men of that town were sent to war. And every young man in that town was killed in battle. But there was one man that didn't get to go to war because of a broken leg. So good luck, bad luck, we don't know. We can't judge it. We just have to see that God uses both. And in Him, my saying now is when people say, oh, that's too bad. Or even if I say that's good, I'm like, no, I don't know that it's good or bad. I just know that it is. It just is. And now I'm going to wait on God and see what God does in this situation. And I've had several different things come up in my life. I've seen it in other people's lives where if you just stand back and say, okay, that looks bad right now, appears to be bad. I could come up and be one of the townspeople saying, oh, that's bad luck. I don't do that anymore. I'm trying not to. My initial reaction is to do that. Is to say, oh, that was bad. Oh, I'm sorry. And it's, well, wait a minute. We don't know what God's going to do in this situation. So if something looks bad, we know that God uses good and bad. He created it both, and He uses both. And we can't always tell, so we shouldn't judge what's good, what's bad. Because really, good, bad, it's all a matter of perception. Depends on where you're seeing it from. Because perceptions change depending on where you're at and how you're looking at it. If we look at things in the natural realm and in a lower realm, we see things different than when we're in the upper, higher realm. And that reminds me of a story from E.B. where he talks about the parade that was coming, and the man went to see the parade. He's standing in front of the building on the sidewalk, and he puts his lawn chair down, sits down, and watches the parade. And he sees the beginning start to come. Then he sees the next float as it comes by, and then he sees it go away. He's only seeing parts of it. And he decided to get a better view, so he went to the top of the building to see it. And he could see the whole parade start to end. And he saw a whole different picture. It's that way when we climb a mountain or something, we get a view, and each time you go higher, you get a whole new set of ideas and visions on that. So we can't always judge. It depends on our perception. For instance, I showed this last week. So Tony and Lee and everybody, don't say anything. Let's let the people that haven't. Huh, it's backward. Okay, let's start with this top word. And what does that top word say? Steve? Good? Huh? There, so we had, okay, Steve said it says good, but she says it says evil. Oh, right, yeah, mixing the black and the white. If you look at the black letters, it says good, and if you look at the white letters, it says evil. So it depends on what you were looking at. It depends on what you were looking at. Where was your perception as you saw this? Is this good or evil? Evil exists with the good. They're both there. And you can look at the situation and say that's good, or you can look at the situation and say that's evil. We can look at the situation and just say, you know what, it is, and God's in charge. God's in control, and everything that happens is in God's hands. Everything's God. He takes care of the rest. We just need to be still, as Diane ended the meeting with the words, be still and know that I am God. We don't have to worry about whether it's good or bad. He takes care of it. He takes care of the problem. He takes care of everything. He runs the good and the evil. All we have to know is that it is. And just for fun, I mean, what do you read here? You see the word illusion? Anybody see anything else? Optical. If you look at the colored blue letters, it's illusion. Inside of that, in the more cream colored, it's the word optical. So you have an optical illusion. Once again, each of us can see something different. And that happens all the time. I mean, with everybody sees something different. What are you focused on? And that can even cause divisions and problems because one person saw it as good and the other person saw it as evil. And they were both there. This is just another one to... There we go again. I'm upside down this morning. The top one, we have the word teach. Reflected. Reflection of teach is learn. What word do you see here? Me? When you see, I see you too. So it's me and you. There's both words there. Who are we focused on? Are we focused on me? Or are we focused on you? We're both together in this. We're a body. It's me and you together are in this. But sometimes we get focused on just me or just you, and we don't get focused on that me and you are together. Well, this is a fun one here. Steve, will you read that to me? A bird in the bush. A bird in the bush. Is that what it really says? Read it again. A bird what? What did it say? Right. A bird in the bush. There's two the's there. But our minds automatically see it as a bird in the bush. We do what we want with our minds. And how many times can that mess us up when we're trying to get a spiritual message or communicate with other Christians or anything else? We can get hung up on things and we can make our mind twist and think somebody said something they didn't say, or, I mean, who knows? So we really need to be in tune with spirit, with who we really are, with the Christ in us. That's why I say if we lose our focus, we can get distracted. We can get distracted and hung up on trying to figure out what's good, what's evil, instead of just, it just is. And now let's be still and know who God is. Be still and know who God is. And we need to take both the good and the bad. As I read in Job last week, he said, you know, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Either way, doesn't matter what comes into our life, what kind of losses we go through, the Lord gives and he takes away, and we still bless the name of the Lord. Because we still, it's not good and bad, it just is. And now let's watch what God does in this situation. He had also said, when everything was taken away from him, and his wife finally said, why don't you just curse God and die? And he says, you're speaking foolish. He said in Job 2, verse 10, he said, what? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? We're in this, we have both good and evil, and we need to deal with both, and we need to bless God in both situations, the good or what appears to be good or bad, because once again, it just is. We don't understand the full overall plan of God. We just need, as we focus on who we really are and the Christ in us, then we just flow into that. So rather than judge what's good, what's bad, just it is. And I watched a video this week that was real interesting called The Secret. Has anybody watched that DVD, The Secret? And I'm going to watch it again. It's got some really good, interesting things in it, and you could do several sermons on it. It mainly was dealing with bettering yourself and your finances, and they were telling you how to change your attitude and what things to do to gain more money. But they also said this works in every application of life. If you need better relationships, or if you need any relationship problems you wanted fixed, or if you had money problems you needed fixed, if you wanted to gain more spiritual enlightenment, by practicing these techniques, you could get there. And what they thought of, well, one of the things they talked about was thought energy, the energy of our thoughts. Oh, thank you. The energy of our thoughts. What we're thinking about and concentrating on, that goes out and comes back and returns. And we attract that. They said there's a law of attraction where the things that we're focused on is what we get. There again, that goes along with Caesar on The Dog Whisperer. As he's walking the dog, you stay calm and assertive, balanced energy. When the dogs come barking to distract you, you stay on your mission and focused where you're going. Chin up, holding the dog just right. You're in charge. You're the pack leader. We're not going to let anything come against our focus and mission. And so that law of attraction, if we give in to the barking dog over here and we get upset and we start yelling at the dog, or we start getting hyper, the dog gets more hyper, we get more hyper, that dog gets more hyper, we don't have the balanced energy, and that's what's going to attract us too. We're going to attract more dogs like that. We're going to attract more problems and more trials. So every time a trial, a temptation, problems with, like I said, problems with money, problems with in-laws, problems with church people, problems with husbands, wives, kids, whatever we're going through in our life, and we're going to go through it all the time. All the time we're going to go through it. Ron's beeping over there. Hey, that's a distraction. No, but there's a barking dog over there. It took me off my focus. What was I talking about? But if we're focused on that barking dog, focused on the problem instead of the solution, instead of the source, which is Christ in us, then we're attracting more of that. We're just going to keep attracting more problems if that's where we keep our thought patterns, is focused on the problem. Then we attract more of that. So our thoughts. They also talk about visualization, how you need to visualize what you want, where you're going in life. What do you want to accomplish? What's the final result? To visualize that, because what we visualize, we end up creating. Same with our thoughts. What we're thinking about, we end up creating. What we're talking about, I mean, we know that the tongue is a powerful source. That it's life or death, it says. That we can speak life or death. So what we say, what we think, what we visualize is what we can have and what we can become. Now, this can be taken into a whole nother aspect, and I've gone through this in my life, and I've seen others go through the visualization process where I want a new car. I want a new Mercedes-Benz, and I'm going to sit there and put pictures up all over my house. That's the car I'm going to have, and I think about it and obsess on it every day and night, going to create this car. And I've heard ministers say, you deserve this, and God wants you to have this car. It's the name it, claim it thing. You go out in your driveway and open up the invisible door and sit down in your invisible car and pretend you're driving it and picture it, hold it, feel it, and you're going to have that. I remember this back in, this was 15 years ago or so. I heard ministers, and I want that car. So I tried that, and I went out and sat in my invisible car and looked like an idiot out in the middle of the driveway. And I never got it. I never got the car. I first tried it back in my early 20s when I was introduced. Somebody wanted to show me a business plan, the plan. And I had my first experience with the Amway Corporation. And, I was going to be a millionaire. And I did it. I ate, drank, and slept Amway. I did everything they told me to do. I listened to the tapes. I read the books. How to Win Friends and Influence People. The Magic of Thinking Big. I read them all. And I was going to be that next millionaire walking across the stage. I mean, I even knew one of the guys. I worked for the brother of a guy from Tri-Cities who became a millionaire in Amway. I mean, it can be done. There was two or three that made it. And all the rest are helping them get there. They're going broke while they're getting ahead. But I read every book. I did every tape. I listened to the tape. We did what they said. We put our TV, unplugged it, and put it in storage. And I did nothing but listen to the positive motivational tapes and read the books. And they told you to visualize everything. And they told you to put pictures up all over. I had my visual boards. On the fridge, I had pictures of the car. I even went down to Lauren Bangert Ford, and I saw this beautiful black and gold convertible, sat in it. This is going to be mine. Did everything they said. Put the picture on it, looked at it every day. I called hundreds of people, all my old friends that I ever knew, people on my paper route when I was a little kid. I called everybody in the world to set up appointments to do different things. Lost a whole bunch of friends trying to be this next millionaire. I even got to the first pin level where they had these huge rallies where the whole gymnasiums would be full. We'd go to Spokane. We'd go to Portland. Huge gymnasiums just packed, thousands of Amway distributors, and everybody's pumped up and going and singing and shouting, and it's like a football game. And that we were all going to get there. And I got to go across stage as one of the pin winners when I got to this one certain level, my first pin level. And that way, boy, I was on my way. And then everybody that I had in started quitting, and I started right back down to the bottom again. And but that's okay. You don't give up. You keep going. And I go, I'm going broke keeping going. I'm using all your products. You know, I've switched to all your products like I'm supposed to. And you even gave me a credit card that I maxed up to $2,500 within a week. And that helped me get to my award level. So, I mean, half the reason I was there was because I put myself in debt to get there. But I was going to do everything that they said. It didn't work for me. And they tell me, well, I'm now a stinking, thinking loser. That's the way the tapes go. It's the person that drops out and doesn't do it. Well, you're now a stinking, thinking loser. So I'm a stinking, thinking loser. And I look at everybody else that was calling me that, and it's been 20 years now, and I don't see any that were there any further along than they were 20 years ago. So I guess my stinking thinking hasn't gotten any better than their Amwayism. But visualization's not always the key. I mean, I know there is a power to visualization. It, you know, it does work. What we picture can happen. Heard of a story of a guy that had a picture of a healthy heart. He had a bad heart, and he had a picture of a healthy heart. And after a long period of looking at this, his heart was getting better. There is power. You know, we do have the power to create. We do have the power within us to do those things. But here again, if we use our visualization outside of the will of God, outside of the Christ in us telling us what to do, then it's no good. That Mercedes that you earned from your positive thinking and visualization and all your pictures painted, put it up all over your wall, and you finally get that beautiful Mercedes, is no good to you when it crashes head on into a semi truck. And everyone in the car dies along with it. Good, bad, well, it just is. But here again, those things aren't where it's at. They're temporal. So if our visualization is on spiritual things that are going to take us somewhere in God, that's what we can put our focus on and visualize. And then we will attract those things. That law of attraction then can work in God and in the things that He wants, not just in the temporal material things. But we need to put that focus on there. And they also had brought up the saying that I said earlier today as we were singing, give thanks. And that's, they said, to have an attitude of gratitude. And I really like that. If we get one thing out of today, that would be it, to say to yourself, attitude of gratitude. Because every time these barking dogs come, and there's going to be lots of them, and they hurt sometimes. Sometimes these trials, these tribulations, these distractions that take us away from God, they hurt. When we have a problem with a spouse or an in-law or a son or a daughter or, you know, whatever we're going through, when there's a serious problem, health problems, whatever we're battling, they hurt and they're hard. And the one thing that we can get to get our focus off of it and onto the Christ within us is an attitude of gratitude. Start giving thanks for what we do have rather than focusing on, oh my gosh, you know, I have cancer, or I have this, I have that, I've got this problem. You know, my kids are doing this, my wife's doing this, whatever it is. Focus on the gratitude, attitude of gratitude. What do we have? What do we have to be thankful for? Rather than concentrate and focus on those things, the barking dogs, focus on an attitude of gratitude. I give thanks that I'm alive today. I give thanks that I can stand up here and talk to you guys today. I give thanks that I can sing today. I give thanks that we can share together. There's so many things to give thanks for. The beauty God's given us all around us. The people He's given us. This group of people here. There are so many things that we have to be thankful for. And that attitude of gratitude will bring us more of that same thing by law of attraction. So we concentrate on that and have an attitude of gratitude and get our minds off the barking dogs. If our minds are on the barking dogs, we're going to attract more barking dogs. We're going to attract more problems. An attitude of gratitude. And it's all on how we think and how we respond to these problems. Sometimes when problems come along, I learned an interesting thing years ago in one of my behavioral science classes in college, was about the brain. You have the lower part of the brain. It was all different parts of the brain, but the lower part and upper part. And the brain stem is the lower part, and the cerebrum was the upper part. But in the lower part of the brain, in your brain stem, that's just your basic animal instinct come from there. And when a situation comes, we resort to like an animal would, where it's fight or flight. You're either going to, you know, you've been attacked, something's come at you, and now you're going to fight or you're going to run from it. I don't want to deal with this problem. I'm running away from it. Or we stand up and just, I see an attack coming. I'm going to fight. So it's fight or flight. That's just primeval animal low part of our brain. Just the basic instinct to stay alive. But we as humans have developed more above that than the animal world to the upper part of the brain, where we have more, that's where our reasoning and learning, memory, all that kind of stuff comes from, in the higher part of the brain. As we can reason things out, we can learn new things, we can then handle things differently. We don't have to react with a fight or flight. We can react more sensibly through that part of the brain. And what I thought's interesting is how that's, you know, there's a spiritual message there. You know, we have the lower realm and the higher realm. We can either react from the lower nature, our old carnal man, or we can react in the higher nature, the higher realm of God, the Christ in us. And we react from that. And there's a big difference on the outcome of what happens around us. So as a distraction of the barking dog comes at us, how are we going to react? We're going to react animalistic and fight back at these barking dogs, fight back at these problems in our life? Or do we just see that they're there and just say, it just is, and now I'm going to go to the higher realm, and I'm going to concentrate on the Christ within me. I'm going to be what God wants me to be. I'm going to focus on who I really am, a new creation in Christ Jesus, seated with Him in heavenly places, and then we will attract the laws of God, the law of love. And that's what we'll attract in our lives and others around us. These emotions that come in, that we get from these distractions, the barking dogs, I mean, they're real. There's going to be anger. There's going to be sadness. It's going to be disappointment. And the book I was reading, there was one line out of it that I've kept that was really good, and that was, let emotions flow, but then let them go. Let emotions flow, but then let them go. We can't deny we're feeling those emotions. I mean, when you just hear of somebody that's dying, or if you hear of a problem in a relationship that's really hurtful, oh, they hurt, they stab like a knife. Let those feelings flow, but then let them go. Because there again, everything's in God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. He'll take care of the rest. He'll take care of the rest. There was a song that came to me this week. I've been debating whether I want to do this or not. It's, you say yes now. You're either going to think I've totally lost my mind or maybe you'll get a kick. We're either going to have fun with this. We're either going to have fun with this, or you're going to think that Cadillac Hospital has me on some really weird drugs right now. But this was a song by Keith Green. And for some reason, it was going through my head. I haven't heard it I was in junior high. How many years ago was that? In the 70s? And he had a ministry going. He came out of the hippie movement, and he played piano and sang. He ended up dying in an airplane wreck, so he had a short ministry. But his ministry still lives on in his music. I went online last night and saw, oh yeah, there's that song. There he is. This one song is, He'll Take Care of the Rest. Maybe not every word in here applies, but no matter what we've been called to, no matter what the obstacle we're up against, He takes care of the rest. We don't have to worry about it. Be still and know that I'm God. Just walk as the new creation being. He takes us where we need to go, and he helps us deal with any of these barking dogs or distractions. Just as with Moses, told to go in to Pharaoh, and he's, well, I have to go talk? I have to go do this? Okay, there's going to be lots of barking dogs. But he trusted God and just focused on who he is in God. He knew that God was going to be talking through him. Noah is told to build a boat out in the middle of the desert. How crazy is that? Okay, but he followed through, and he had lots of barking dogs. A lot of people barking at him about it. But God's the one that takes care of the rest. All we have to do is realize who we are, believe who we are, and live who we are, and not let these distractions take us aside, because he'll take care of the rest. Now, this song is not a rap song, but for some reason, I'm going to rap it this morning. Can I do that in church? Can we rap in church? I got the mic. Okay. That's funny. Okay, well, if we're gonna rap, we gotta. You know there ain't no use in banging your head up against that cold stone wall, 'cause nobody's perfect except for the Lord, and even the best bound to fall. Remember, he is divine and you a deep branch. He'd love to get you through it if you give him a chance. Just keep doing your best and pray that it's blessed, and Jesus takes care of the rest. Yes, the Lord said he'll take care of the rest. He's gonna do it. He'll take care of the rest. The devil blew it. He'll take care of the rest. He'll see you through it. He'll take care of the, he'll take care of the rest. Now you just think about Moses in front of the burning bush, peppered on the holy ground. You know, he must have been thinking, hey, what's an old dude like me gonna tell them all when I go down? Go down, Moses. And the Lord said, hey, Mo, don't worry about going down south, because I'll be saying every word that comes out of your mouth. You just keep doing your best and pray that it's blessed. And hey, Mo, I'll take care of the rest. And the Lord said, he'll take care of the rest. He's gonna do it. He'll take care of the rest. He'll see you through it. Yeah, he'll take care of the rest. Oh, Pharaoh blew it. He'll take care of the, he'll take care of the rest. Now you just think about Noah toting his umbrella when there wasn't a cloud in the sky. All his neighbors would laugh at his pet giraffe, and they would snicker as he passed by. But the Lord said, hey, Noah, be cool. Just keep building that boat. It's just a matter of time till they see who's gonna float. You just keep doing your best and pray that it's blessed, and I'll take care of the rest. I'm the weatherman. And the Lord said, he'll take care of the rest. He'll take care of the rest. He'll take care of the rest. He's gonna do it. He'll take care of the rest. His neighbors blew it. He'll take care of the rest. He's gonna do it. He'll take care of the rest. We don't gotta worry. He'll take care of the rest. He'll see you through it. He'll take care of the rest. Yeah. He'll take care of the rest. He's gonna do it. He'll take care of the rest. Let's bring it home. He'll take care of the, he'll take care of the rest. Anyway, I don't know what came over me there, but he'll take care of the rest. He'll take care of the rest. The distractions come. God's going to be the one that's going to float your boat. We don't have to worry about it. He's the one that's going to be saying everything that comes out of our mouth. All we have to do is stay focused on who we are in God. God's not going to let us down. And what appears to be good or bad, I mean, when Noah's sitting there in an ark waiting for water to come down and everybody's laughing at him, he could have easily given up from the distractions. Moses, Abraham, everyone that's gone through has had distracting things all around their lives. Job, for God's sakes, this man lost everything. All possessions, family, everything. But he stayed focused on who he was and gave thanks, had an attitude of gratitude. He said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And if we can leave with that attitude of gratitude, to not look at the barking dogs, not look at those situations, just look at who I am in Christ Jesus and give thanks that I'm not blind, that I can see. Give thanks that I'm not bound, but I'm free. There are so many things in our life to put our focus on, and then we attract those things. We attract the goodness of God. We attract His love, His energy. We attract the God that is all in all. He'll take care of the rest. Amen? As we, last week, I was just curious, at any point in time, did you guys come across the situation where it's like, oh no, that's bad, and then all of a sudden remember, oh, it just is, you know, let's wait and see what God does in this situation. Did that come up at all this week? Oh yeah. Just is. Move on.
I didn't lose my temper, in other words. I didn't blow up at it.
That's good.
And create that negative energy.
Yeah.
You know, with Abraham and Noah, they were being obedient to what God told them. They were being obedient into doing what God told them to do. And that was the reason why he saw them through. Is because they weren't doing their thing. They weren't doing my thing. They weren't doing what they wanted to do. They were doing what God told them to do. They were being obedient. When you're obedient to the Lord in doing what He wants you to do at that particular point in time,
that's when you're focused on the Christ within you and not focused on the barking dogs and the distractions. Yeah. Yeah, I've had to do it a couple times this week where things have come up again, and it's like I start to get angry or hurt, whatever the situation was, and no, it just is. Now let's wait and see what God does. See, let's wait and see what God does in the situation. It's not good, it's not bad. It just is, and let's see what God does. Let's watch the power of God at work. And that power is within us. And let's watch that power come out from within us and attract more of that power from the others around us, because that's where our focus is. My daughter had gotten, I sent this CD. If anybody wants a CD of last week, I've got some copies. I'd sent my daughter one, she's 21 and lives up in Port Orchard. And she listened to it, and she called me later in the week and said she had to do that. She had some situation come up that, and she was horrified for a minute. Oh, no, what am I going to do? And she said, well, wait, no, it just is, and I'm going to trust God. And it worked out for her just perfect. There was no problem. There was no need to worry because He took care of the rest. He'll take care of the rest. Anyone else have anything to share, add, comment? Take away anything? A lot of vain repetition. That's very good, yeah. That's very good. Yeah, well, you know, there again, I mean, you know, praying is a good thing, but if we spend our time constantly praying on the same problem, what are we really putting out there as far as energy, as far as thought energy, speech energy, visualization? We're focusing on the problem. I mean, you can sit and pray for my cancer over and over all day long. And what are we really talking and focusing on? The cancer. Whether, like this video I watched said, you know, there was a lady that that got through her cancer because she said, let the doctors worry about the cancer. I'm going to focus on health. So we need, sometimes we need to change our speech on how we say it and what we focus on. It's, you know, we'll focus on the source again. Focus on the Christ in us that has the healing power. We don't need to keep repeating the same prayers all the time. Well, God heard us the first time for one thing. And second of all, He's already got everything under control. He knows what's going on. It's we're the ones that, you know, put ourselves in the dark. So, yeah, it's all taken care of. He'll take care of the rest. Just relax. Be still and know that I am God. Relax in Him. And there's always going to be something. You know, the book I was reading here, they get a little bit into meditation. And they said to try to sit quietly for just a minute. And maybe try it right now for 15 seconds. Everybody just, if you would, just close your eyes for 15 seconds. And tell yourself you're not going to think of one single thing for 15 seconds. Let's try it. Did anybody do it? Did anybody raise your hand if you did not think of one single thing? You didn't think of one single thing? You're able to blank your mind like that? Wow. Not much there anyway. Not much there anyway, But even when we try to just be still, our minds have so much jibber-jabber going on, replaying all kinds of things that have happened in our lives. And yet people that have meditated, I guess, for a long time have learned how to practice and be able to do that. And it takes a while to be able to clear your mind. But even when we think we're being calm and think we're being still, our mind's still going, and oh, what should I have done here? And what do I got to do tomorrow? And what should I have done on that situation different? And we're replaying all kinds of things in our head, thinking about past, thinking about future, thinking about what's next. That mind is busy and active constantly, and even that can be a distraction to keep us from the Christ within. And that's where, if we learn to just, even with those thoughts that come in, if you're trying to relax and those thoughts come in, think of those thoughts as the barking dogs. They're just there. Don't get sucked into them. Realize they're there. Accept the fact, okay, they're there. But we don't have to get tuned into them. We don't have to get sucked into that thought. We can still stay focused on what we really are trying to accomplish or really trying to think about. What have you got, Diane?
I was regretting the past and fearing the future. Suddenly God was speaking. My name is I Am. I waited. God continued. When you live in the past with its mistakes and regrets, it is hard. I am not there. My name is not I Was. When you live in the future with its problems and fears, it is hard. I am not there. My name is not I Will Be. When you live in this moment, it is not hard. I am there. My name is I Am.
I am. Present tense. Yep. I am. Can't live in the past. Can't live in the future. It's right now. This is what we have right now. And right now, we can be relaxed, peaceful, calm, assertive. We can know everything. Everything is in God's hands. He'll take care of the rest on everything. And it does us no bit of good to worry about anything. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but gets you nowhere. So all we need to do is relax. Be still in God. Know that He's God. Know that He's our life. Amen. He'll take care of the rest. Let's close in prayer. Lee, will you close us in prayer?
Father, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, we praise you and honor you. helping us over the trials, and he said, he's one of us, he's good. And we ask you to bless this group, Father, and all your people, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys, for letting me talk and do crazy songs.